God is good.
All the time. God is good.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And if you're a visitor with us today, we want to extend that welcome especially to you and encourage you to take the time to fill out a visitor card and just place that in the offering plate today. It's a way to get to know us as a church and for us to get to know you as well and keep you up to date on things and opportunities in the life of this congregation. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, not Veterans Day, but we are privileged today to have with us some veterans and some folks specifically from the VFW who were out in our lobby distributing poppies in honor of those who have fallen and given their lives in service, but also collecting funds that they use to support veterans and veterans affairs. And so we're thankful to have them. But like we said, tomorrow is Memorial Day. And as the video that we watched before worship reminded us that there are those who gave their lives to fight for us, to fight for the freedoms that we so enjoy, such as the freedom to be here in this house in safety and worship together. Would you stand with me as we just take a moment of silence to remember those who have given their lives? Please stand. Lord, for those who gave, we give you thanks. Amen. You may be seated. I want to remind you this morning about the fish fry that's coming up this Friday at 6. And this is a great opportunity every year that our deacons get together and put this on for us. They are already working hard, planning and preparing. Ethan claims he has been fishing. I think he fishes at a certain market somewhere, but there will be plenty of fish. There will also be a non-fish item for those who either have fish allergies or just don't like fish. There will be something there for you as well. There are sign-up sheets in the vestibule. If you would sign up that you're coming and how many guests. Remember, the price of admission to the Deacon Fish Fry is that you bring somebody with you, a guest to the church. So we hope that you will do that. Indicate how many people you're bringing. Also, there are sign-up sheets if you would like to bring, I think it's baked beans, a dessert, or coleslaw. Those are the three side items that they're asking for the people of our church to bring with them. David and some of the youth will also be out in the vestibule after worship. If you've not purchased a raffle ticket for the mattress, do so today. You can buy them at the fish fry, but go ahead and buy 40 or 50 today before you leave. And if you'd like to take a look at the mattress, it is already up in the fellowship hall. It's a big thing. And I think the retail value is over $5,000. So it's really an opportunity to get a nice queen-size mattress for your home. So make sure you see David or some of the youth who have raffle tickets before you leave today. As we gather and remember, the ultimate memorial is that for Jesus the Christ, symbolized often in worship by the cross. We remember that it is he who showed the ultimate example when he gave his life that we might be set free. Let us continue to worship.
Our opening scripture for today is John 15:12-13. This is my commandment, that you will love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends.
As we reflect on those words from John's gospel, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. How deeply you have loved us, Jesus. How willingly you stepped into our experience. How completely you empathize with all that we endure. How sacrificially you have loved us. How completely you gave yourself for us. How courageously you suffered for our sakes. Teach us to love as you have loved us. On this Memorial Day weekend, we also remember those men and women who, in an act of love, gave themselves as a sacrifice so we can understand peace and calm. In this time of story and song and prayer during our worship hour this morning, may we be recommitted to being people of peace, true peace. May we catch a vision of how the world could live together, and so we echo the old prayers, make us channels of your peace, God. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. We lift this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. May be seated.
Very briefly, we want to update you on the vision process that we've been engaged in since the fall. A lot has happened since that program started. We have established and developed a vision statement that we are already putting out there and celebrating and encouraging ministry teams to use that vision statement to guide them in planning for the coming year. We've also had meetings with several ministry team leaders just to sit down and let them take a moment to think about and look at what their team can do to absorb and to embody that vision statement. And the next step will be to have a church-wide retreat, like a half-day retreat, to discuss and brainstorm together. What we found is that the summer has already taking its toll on folks' calendars and their schedules, and we're hearing that there is going to be quite a lot of folks that will not be able to be here next Saturday. So we thought, why don't we take the summer to continue to reflect on this vision statement and come back in the fall with renewed energy and renewed focus. And we're going to postpone that vision day retreat from this coming Saturday to sometime in early fall before people's schedules get too busy. So I want to make sure you make that note on your calendar. Continue to pray for our ministry team leaders and the discovery team and the vision and leadership team as they continue to guide us through this process.
Okay. Children, come on down. Well, Langston was here. He left. Okay. What do we have here, guys? A flag, yeah. And as Mason mentioned earlier this morning, and then you saw in the video, why do we have these this morning? Tomorrow's Memorial Day, correct, yeah. And why do we celebrate Memorial Day? Now, y'all can't hear it, Luke. He's so soft spoken. Tell him, Luke, you
there's a people in the military that died.
Yeah, can y'all hear what he just said? You can talk about it, sis. Yeah, it's on.
It's on.
Y'all can hear my big mouth.
Use your outside voice.
For the people that died.
For the people that died, right. So that's why we celebrate. Come on, ladies, come on down. For the people that died for us to give us our freedom. So I have a flag for each one of y'all today. And so we want to celebrate the people who were in the military that died to give us our freedom. So that's what Memorial Day is all about. And it wasn't just men, it was women too that were in the military. And I want to take a show of hands, and I'm if I offend anybody, I'm sorry. But do any of you have, and I want y'all to stand up, so I want y'all to see. Come on, guys, stand up. Anybody that was in the military that's passed that fought for our freedom in here? You had any part? Y'all turn around and look, guys. I want you to see how many people that fought to give y'all freedom for us. And my dad was in the military, too. So I'll raise my hand. Look at this church is filled with people that were in the military that have fought to give us freedom that have passed. That is wild. That is awesome. All right. So now, what did Jesus do for us? He gave us freedom too. Did y'all know that? What did he do to us? He died on the cross, right? So Jesus gave us freedom that we could come here, that we could worship him every Sunday. That way he gave us a pill. He washed away sin for us, but we still sin though. But because of him, we have freedom. We have freedom that we can do whatever we want. But we need that to ask for forgiveness. So today, tomorrow, I want you to remember to thank Jesus for our freedom and to thank our people that have passed for the freedom that they fought to give us. So let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the freedom that we enjoy. Thank you for those who paid the price for that freedom. But even more, we thank you for the freedom we have because of Jesus willing to pay the penalty for our sins. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Our auditory hymn this morning is hymn number 400, Rise Up, O Men of God. Let's stand and let's worship.
Thank you for this day, and thank you for allowing us to come into your house to worship freely. Oh, Lord, we ask that you be with all of those families that have lost loved ones in the wars in the past and that have fought in the service. Oh, Lord, we ask that you continue to be with all the soldiers that are fighting for us today and for our freedom to be able to come and worship your name freely. We thank you, oh, Lord, for the ultimate sacrifice of your Son in Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, lift up all of the donations, and we ask that you bless the givers. Help us to be generous to further your kingdom. Thank you for everything. Amen.
We invite you to hear again the word of God from Psalm 82. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk around in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I say, you are gods, children of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals and fall like any prince. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations belong to you. We invite you to take this time, as we do in each service, to pause for you to offer confession to the Lord and to seek his forgiveness. Would you pray with me? Our desire, O God, is to be on the right side of history. In all things we do, in all things we say, may we be just and righteous and true. That is our hope, but often it is not the reality of our lives. For God, when we want to do right, like Paul, we do the very opposite. When we want to avoid wrong, we find ourselves doing it nonetheless. We are people, and we do peopleish things. Lord, we come to you on bended knee, asking that you would make us better, that you would cause us to live up to the name we bear of Christ, that you would cause us to be remade and reshaped and remolded in an image that is better than the one we were born with, but one that comes from above, and that as new creations, we might be a people who go out into the world boldly to bring hope and love, peace and joy and life to the full. As your people, we call on you, O Lord. In the divine counsel, look upon our prayers, hear us. For we pray for those who cannot fight for themselves. We pray for those who are hurting today, those who wander into the doors of this place with heavy burdens. Sometimes it's the burden of the week that's passed, mistakes that were made, troubles that were wrestled with. Often it is the burden of worry about a week to come. Some worry about how to pay bills, and others worry about how to care for loved ones. Lord, we remember those not only who have fallen in battle, but those who continue to battle the scars of war. Not every soldier who dies in battle dies in combat. Some scars take years to have their full effect. We see the pain. We pray for a world of peace, when not only shall they hunger no more, nor shall they thirst anymore, but the sword will be bent into a plow. And at last we might sing in truth the old carol, peace on earth, goodwill to all. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
you pray with me? God, we ask now that as we wrestle with your word, it would overpower us and win. That as we study it, it might study us and examine us and point the error of our ways out to us. And as we read it, it might read us. And we might be transformed by what we experience here together. Amen. We're looking at a proverb today. Two verses from Proverbs chapter 10. There's so many just pure nuggets of joy and wisdom throughout the Proverbs. So many of them that challenge us and encourage us. There is some great couplings of Proverbs that contrast one another. For example, the one verse that says, "Do not answer a fool in his foolishness, or he will seem wise in his own eyes." And then the next verse says, "Answer a fool in his foolishness, or he will think that he is wise." Sometimes you have to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. My favorite proverb, and I often say to my wife when she says, "How was your day?" I will often say I had a Proverbs chapter 30, verse 2 kind of day. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 2 says, "For I am too stupid to be human." That's the kind of day I feel like I often have. But these two verses that we look at today seem right for the season that we are in as we approach Memorial Day and we think about people who've gone before us, not only those who served in the military, but those who served their country and their world in many other ways. We think about people who have gone before us and the legacy that they leave behind, the story that their lives continue to tell. We think about these verses and how appropriate they are. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. How true these words are about the wicked. That someone who lives their lives in a seedy kind of way, it leaves a legacy of rot. Everybody these days likes to call their enemies Hitler, don't they? Everybody who you disagree with, or a political figure that you don't like, or a particular group that you're against, or some foreign leader, we compare them to Hitler. Now, maybe not everybody deserves that title, but there's a reason that name is the jab that it is. Did you know that to this day you cannot name your child Adolf in Germany? For a reason. That name carries with it a rot, a stigma. Just to hear it gives you the woo. Just to hear it emotes feelings of anger or fear or dread or worry or hate. And so that's a great iconic example of how someone's name can leave a legacy behind of rot. But the proverb here takes it a bit deeper than that. It reminds us that rot spreads, doesn't it? You know the old saying, one bad apple destroys the bunch. Rot has a way of oozing and wiggling throughout the whole basket so that not just one fruit is affected, but all are affected. That rot we see when one person does something in the name of their nation or their club or their church, how that lingering legacy will continue. Did you know that many of the relatives of Adolf Hitler committed suicide or live in foreign countries because they cannot bear the daily pressure of having that judgment, whether people intend it or not, geared towards them? Oh, you're a descendant of that guy. Nobody wants to be a descendant of a Mussolini or a Stalin or anything like that, but it plays itself out in just everyday lives as well, doesn't it? For example, when I was a kid and I would get into a new classroom and they would find out my name almost inevitably because of my older brothers, the teacher would go, "Oh, you're one of those Smith boys, aren't you?" You see how the name has an effect generations and generations to come. If your great-grandfather was an evil person, you may not be an evil person, but you live under the shadow, under the stigma of that name. One person, one action can affect the whole group. I grew up attending First Baptist Church in Whiteville. And I remember when I was a kid, we had our claim to fame was our RA basketball program. We had one of the top RA basketball programs in the state. Went to the state championships every year. Won it a few times. Big deal. There was a couple of black guys that wanted to come and play basketball with our RA group. And they came and they were welcomed and loved and accepted. But one guy in the church, one deacon, approached those boys one night and says, "We don't let black folks in this church." And those boys left. You know, 20 years later, visiting my hometown, talking to a person of color at the gas station, they asked me, "What church did you grow up in?" "First Baptist." "Oh, the racist church." Do you see how everything we say and do can have lasting, lingering effects? What good is your name? The name of the wicked will rot. Bad people leave that kind of legacy. But we're also reminded that the memory of the righteous is a blessing. "Oh, you're so-and-so's boy." Just the name alone creates expectation and hope. If your father or mother were someone famous or someone important in the community, that has an effect on you. When I lived in Elizabeth City, we bought a minivan. I never thought in my life I would own a minivan. But, you know, you have kids, you get married, you have kids, and there you find yourself, the next thing you know, you're scratching your head in the dealership trying to figure out if you want power windows or not. And this guy was giving me this incredible deal. He kept calling me by my name, my full name, Mason Smith. "Well, I'll tell you what, Mason Smith, we're going to make you a deal today." And he was so generous, and we ended up buying a brand new van for less than what a used van that we wanted, we were looking at, would have cost. And then he, after we signed all the papers and had done all the deals, he says, "Well, tell your daddy hello for me." And I said, "My daddy? You know my daddy?" He said, "Yeah. Isn't your daddy Cooney?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "You're Mason Smith, right?" "Yes." "And your dad's Mason Smith, right?" "No, my dad's Rick Smith." "Your dad's not Cooney Smith? You mean you're not Cooney Jr.?" And you could just see the sinking realization on his face that he had sold me this car based on a name that wasn't mine. But names have that lingering effect on people. And those people who fight for righteousness or fight on the right side are remembered. Why do you think Memorial Day is such the big deal that it is? Because we believe our boys and girls, our men and women, were fighting on the side of the right. Whatever the war, whatever the battle, we believe we were on the right side. Memorial Day in Germany, having lived there for 4 years, I can tell you it's a very different experience. It's not so much of a rah-rah celebration as it is a sort of a humbling, sober mourning experience. Mourning over being on the wrong side. Not just the losing side, but there is a sense that it was the wrong side. And of course, history proves that out. But when people live their lives on the right side, that legacy benefits all of us. Have you ever been inspired by a story of one of your relatives? Have you ever been inspired by a story of someone who's gone through great difficulties and have overcome it? Hearing those ancient stories lifts us all up. But it's not easy to be a righteous person. You look at the prophets like Amos. You think Amos liked his job very much? You can read it in Isaiah. Isaiah just struggling, pained by the calling that God had put on his life. Peter likewise, and Paul suffered, say that they suffer for Christ. That doing the right thing is not easy, greasy. It's actually rough and raw and painful and hard. And people will say, "Who are you? They did this to Jesus. Isn't that Mary and Joseph's kid? Who is he? Let's kill him," they said. It is just that human nature that to be on the right side or the side of justice often causes the person pain. I think about the story in the life of W.W. Finlater. Many of you don't know who W.W. Finlater is. Maybe none of you do, but he's one of the most historic and iconic Baptist preachers of the South, right here in North Carolina. W.W. Finlater, by the way, pastored First Baptist Elizabeth City, where I pastored later. So we got to know one another. He would call me often to tell me what I was doing wrong and how to do it right and encourage me in different things. There's a great book called Dissenter in the Baptist Southland, and it tells the story of the life of W.W. Finlater, which can be summed up by this one line: Bill Finlater has disturbed a good number of citizens, encouraged many, motivated hundreds, and made us all more sensitive to our personal obligation to establish a better and more peaceful world. But I love that line: he has disturbed a good number of our citizens. He preached civil rights before the civil rights movement in downtown Elizabeth City. I marvel at that. He was a pacifist who preached for peace, not against military service or military personnel, but against war and violence. He was what they call a prophetic preacher who preached this word of judgment against the empire and the establishment, and preached words of challenge that made people uncomfortable and angry often. And I asked Bill Finlater one time, I called him up, and he answers the phone. "This is W.W. Finlater," one of those deep southern voices, still strong in his old age. And we were chit-chatting and talking, and I asked him, "Dr. Finlater, wouldn't your ministry have been so much easier if you had just preached comfort and love and warm messages?" And he got right angry with me. I could hear it through the phone. He says, "You think I liked saying the things that I said? Do you think I liked associating with some of the people that I associated with in my ministry? Do you think I liked to make people feel uncomfortable, to hurt people's feelings? Do you think I liked to rile people up and get people all angry and excited? I didn't like doing those things. I did those things because Jesus made me do those things. And they were the right things. And righteousness hurts." You can hear his voice change from one of anger to a little bit of pity. You know, righteousness can hurt. In fact, when W.W. Finlater was the pastor of Pullen Memorial, they fired him. They fired him because he was too controversial and too rough. And then when he died, they named a building after him because the memory of a righteous person is a blessing. Not the life, not the upfront encounter necessarily. If you live your life doing the right thing and saying the right things and being in the right places and fighting in the right wars and the right battles, you will not be liked. You will not be appreciated. It will hurt, but one day, maybe, it'll be a blessing, and it'll dawn on someone. But to live your life as a righteous person, to be the head of a righteous person, you cannot be passive. It's not enough to simply wake up and say, I didn't kill anybody today. I didn't rob anybody. I didn't oppress anybody. I didn't push anybody down or hold anybody back or tell any lies to anyone or hurt anyone's feelings or crush anyone or enslave anyone. Those are things we're just not supposed to do anyway. That's not righteous. That's being a human being. Sometimes we're too stupid to be human. But to be a person of righteousness is to wake up in the morning and say, who am I fighting for, God, today? Who am I supposed to save today? Who am I supposed to defend on this day? Who am I supposed to lift up and give life to and hope to and bring joy to today? Who am I to bring salvation to today, O Lord? That's the active life of a righteous person that says, God, who am I dying for today? For isn't that the essence of Jesus' words? That is, to gain your life, you must lose it. So you're not really living unless you're dying for someone else. The orphan, the widow, the foreigner, the lost, the widowed hurt, the grieving, the groaning, the oppressed, the enslaved. Who am I giving up my life for today? And you may not see any fruit of that in your lifetime. You may not ever get the feathers in your cap and the accolades. You might not ever be inducted into the Order of the Longleaf Pine or given some great recognition or honorary doctorate or whatever. But you will leave a legacy of blessing. Let us pray. May we be people who leave legacies behind, not ones of rot, but of righteous blessing. May the way we live our lives, the things we say, and the things we do be a blessing to the people who come after us, that their lives might be better off because we lived. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We invite you to respond to God's word this morning as we sing together, O God, our help of ages past. It's number 74 in your hymnals. And we'll sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6. Please stand if you're able. Safe tomorrow, no fires at the grill as you celebrate and remember Memorial Day. Again, we're thankful for representatives from our local VFW who were here today. And they also wanted me to extend an invitation to you that tomorrow. They do have an open house there at the VFW building on Webb Avenue. I encourage you to go and support. There's also other memorial opportunities that Graham has a wonderful opportunity for you tomorrow, but you may want to be a part of that as well. Would you receive this blessing as we go? May the one who deserves all honor and glory be with you, guide your steps, and give your feet the way of peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.